Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Twitter, if you can't get through or don't want to make a call, the number is 800-636-1067. Our Twitter accounts, at Grant H. Paulson and at Funny Danny, if you want to follow us there and or give us your thoughts on anything we're discussing on the show. Let's go to the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Welcome onto the program our buddy Clinton Portis, who, of course, was one of the great Redskins of the 2000s, almost single-handedly carrying the team to the playoffs in 2005 and 2007. CP, it's good to have you back on the show, man. How are you?
You good, man. What's going on?
Not much. So, you know, originally when I'd hit you up to come on this week, I had seen that you were taking part in being active in the community and in a peaceful protest. But the story kind of shifted from a sports standpoint here in terms of what I wanted to get your expertise on. Drew Brees came out yesterday and made a comment that his teammates disagree with, which is that he said that he still is never going to support players taking a knee during the national anthem. And I'm sure you've seen this, but a lot of the Saints unfollowed him on Twitter, kind of went back at him pretty hard. His jersey was being burned in New Orleans last night. I'm just curious, if you're in a locker room, and you know this, Clinton, not everyone agrees on politics or on what's going on in the world. Like, what would it be like to be one of those Saints right now? And if you were one of the players on his team, what would you be doing right now?
Well, I think it's a tough situation for Drew. As you all know, being in the locker room, you know, you have people that have that belief. You know, you don't really discuss politics and racism and religion within the locker room. You don't really discuss finances. You know, people always talk about, hey, this locker room and these guys are so close. And it's like you never really know your teammate, because Drew Brees gets so much love from all communities. And the work he puts in the community is always highlighted. To go and carry a city like New Orleans that's really predominantly black, you know, where all people get along. You think about New Orleans. That's one place where everyone has the same goal in mind, and that's to get wasted, to have a good time, and make it back home safely. And you think of a city, you know, when you're talking about a city that come together, it's New Orleans, and they come together for numerous events, music, festivals, alcohol, just things that all people have in common, like-minded people. And then when you see a leader of the community, such as Drew Brees, go out and make this conversation, it kind of sets you back, you know, because you still don't even understand it. You're in the locker room, and you know why guys are kneeling, and you've known why guys are kneeling from the start. So for this message to become lost in translation, as most messages do, as they're trying to lose this one, to lose in not making it about George Floyd. You know, all of a sudden it's about looters and everything else, when this world was built that way. You know, in the understanding of the flag, is no disrespect to the flag, is no disrespect to the people that fought, it's no disrespect to the people that protect us. It's all about the inner city and the communities that are at a disadvantage due to profiling. And I would think Drew Brees would know that. So for the slack that he's getting from his teammates, I listened to Malcolm Jenkins and I listened to Michael Thomas and I saw Alvin Kamara. I think it's deserved, you know, because you have so many guys, especially with Malcolm Jenkins formerly being in the Saints and going back. You have so many guys that stand up and that voice their opinion on these matters that you can converse with, that you can lean on, that you can talk to. And you chose not to. You chose to go out and make a statement, and it was nowhere near. There's nothing about the flag. You know, what's going on is we've lost three people in the last month or in the last 2 months since COVID, you know, since the stop of, I mean, the freedom of COVID. All of a sudden you get three African-Americans that lose their lives to profiling, basically. So, you know, it's one of those situations where he came out and made a comment, and I think his teammates were right for calling him out and holding him accountable, because you would want to hold your teammates accountable in any other situation or action.
Clinton Portis is with us here on Grant and Danny. Obviously, this is a different time. This is a unique moment in history, I would say. But did you have anything similar when you were in Washington playing? Did you have a teammate that you disagreed vehemently about something? And kind of how did you guys approach that, and how did you get over it?
I think it's plenty of teammates that you disagree with. And as for me, I was always the one to be a man about it. You know, if you go back and you look at anything that might have started a firestorm surrounding me, it was me being uncut and clear about what really happened, you know, calling out and not speaking behind someone's back. You know, at that time, I think we had a lot of people that was anonymous. There was so many anonymous conversations being had. So it makes you uncomfortable in a locker room, you know, when it's always anonymous. Someone has a problem with you, but as a man, won't come and address it. They would rather address it to the media. So for me in those situations, I'm going to address my teammate. I'm going to address whoever the person is I have an issue with, and I don't have a problem with saying who that person is to them. And if it ever gets to the media, it's because I've attempted or we've attempted to have this conversation and it wasn't handled properly.
CP, what if you were on the Saints right now? I mean, if they had to play a game today, I don't even know how that would work. I mean, it just seems like those guys are so mad at Breeze. And look, this is a guy, I don't know what your relationship is. You can educate me on how well you know him. But, I mean, he has an image like squeaky clean like Mr. Rogers. I mean, he's done a lot of good for a long, long time as a role model. And you would think a lot of his teammates have always thought highly of him. Malcolm said as much in his video that he put on social media yesterday. I mean, how do they come together now in that locker room? Can you not be friends with someone who has this dissenting opinion? Is that where we're at as a country? Like, how is this going to work for the Saints, do you think?
Well, I think it works because you have time, and time heals all. You know, at some point, the frustration or the anger, you know, you release that and you get over that. But right now, if you had a game tomorrow, I think it would be tough to go out and play. I think it would be a team divided. You know, I think it would be obvious of the division, and it would be too much scrutiny around it for you to go out and give your all to someone with those beliefs. You know, when you're fighting on the team, when you're fighting on the field as teammates, nothing else matters. That's what it's about. It's about winning the game. But when you have this frustration or this acknowledgement that I don't really think you're here for me, or I don't really think you believe in what I stand for, then it becomes confusing, and that's going to divide the team, you know what I mean? And I think they can overcome it. I think they will overcome it, because sports is a release for everybody. You know, once you get back on the field and you start running around and guys start joking and talking again, then I think that'll help, you know, for Drew to come out and try to apologize ASAP and say, you know, he was inconsiderate and all of that. You know, I think guys in due time, when this blows over, goes back to seeing the good in Drew Brees. You know, I just think it was horrible timing for his comment, because what he is on the field and what he stood for off the field to this point for everyone has been, as you said, squeaky clean and idealistic. That's the type of leader you want. That's the type of individual you want. And all of a sudden, these comments come out, and it's like, hey, I don't want his jersey anymore. He's no longer my favorite player. The Saints have been my favorite team all my life. I don't know if I can go cheer for them as I cheer for them. When Drew Brees broke the record against the Redskins, I was cheering in the box with Dan. I'm looking at Dan like, I can't hold this in. This is my team. This is someone I love. So for me, you know, it's just one of those, like, this is, and it's hard for a man to idolize another man in the first place because you never know what people are doing off the field, you know, what they do on the field. And I think that's what makes LeBron James' character so great. I think that's what makes Steph Curry's character so great. And Peyton Manning, when you look at a lot of these guys that come out from the start and they're always involved in the community, always coming, always carrying. And then you have a guy as Drew Brees who you look at on that same level, and then this happened.
Clinton, what did you make of Drew's apology after, you know, he received a lot of backlash for his comments?
Well, I mean, I don't think the backlash is over. And, you know, you come out and you apologize, but in reality, you said how you spoke your truth. That's how you really feel. You know, it's like an argument with someone you love. And if they say, hey, your breath stinks, they believe your breath stinks. I apologize for saying that. That's honestly how you feel. So when you hear how someone feels, you have to believe them. It's hard to look at that any different, you know? So I think this is one of those situations that you come out and apologize, but in all reality, hey, that's how you feel. That's who you are. That's what you believe. And despite having 4 years in the locker room and being in New Orleans and being in a city that's predominantly black, you know, when you go to the tailgates, when you go to New Orleans, when you see black people, you encounter those people, you see the issues within the community. So I just think it's really tough to overcome if he was playing up north and somewhere, and then you see Aaron Rodgers come out and make a statement. You know, Aaron Rodgers come out instantly and make a statement about Drew Brees. And it all of a sudden, the respect level, not that I didn't respect Aaron Rodgers, the first thing I thought last night, well, hell, this is probably going to be my new favorite quarterback now that Drew Brees isn't anymore, you know? So this is one of those situations, man, you hate that it happened. I hate that it happened to Drew Brees. But that's how Drew Brees feels. He spoke his truth, and I have to accept his truth. And whether I cheer for Drew again and I look at the Saints and watch them again, hey, in time, you know, time shall probably heal and it'll pass over. But in reality, will I ever forget or will I ever understand? No, I won't.
Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny. Even Aaron Rodgers, by the way, was taking heat because he didn't say something sooner, and where was he 3 years ago? So there's not a lot right now of, you know, I don't know that anybody can say or do the right thing necessarily, but clearly, as we found out yesterday, that there is a line that you're either on or you're not, and Drew Brees was on the wrong side of it with his comments. Clinton, your information was great. I actually wanted to get you on just to talk about taking part in those peaceful protests, but with what happened, this became, you know, the story to ask you about. But if you continue to do that, stay safe, and hopefully everything's going well. Are you in the Charlotte area right now?
Yeah, I'm down in North Carolina. And if you know what? It's a great – Billie Eilish had probably the greatest statement that I've seen from anyone to
CP,
this
CP, can
point.
I cut you off real quick? Is it possible? Can you come back with us? We got to take a break. Can you come back with us for one more segment?
Yeah.
All right, let's do that because this is good. I don't want to be succinct when we don't have to be. So let's keep Clinton. We'll bring him back in a minute. I want to hear what he said, Billie Eilish said. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Clinton Portis has been joining us, and we were just talking to him about what it's going to be like in the locker room for the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees yesterday coming out and saying he's still not going to agree with his teammates, players around the NFL, taking a knee during the national anthem. He thinks it's disrespectful to the flag. Obviously, his teammates very upset with that, saying that them taking a knee during the anthem has nothing to do with the flag and that he's not hearing them. And so, you know, they are at odds at this point. We wanted to get Clinton on to just talk about the locker room dynamic and, you know, not being able to get on the same page with your teammates, and he joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. He's sticking with us. So let's pick up where you left off. I cut you off, and I apologize, but you were about to say something that you heard that you liked during all this.
Well, I texted to you during the break, and it was a statement from Billie Eilish. And as a young female, for her to have that perspective and understanding, it makes it hard to understand how a lot of people can't see it. When a young female under 21 could see the perspective and get the understanding, and you can't. And it's kind of a long statement, so I text it to you. You can put it up on your page and share it with everyone if you like. But I think that perspective, if people would just listen, you know, everyone tries to change the narrative to make it about them when it's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Floyd family, the Aubrey family, the Breonna Taylor family, about the people that's dealing with this. We overlook it because every day, if it doesn't affect us, we don't really care. If it has an indirect, if it doesn't have a direct effect to us, it doesn't matter. Like, we're becoming numb as a society because we don't care. You know, you don't know your neighbor. You don't know anything that's going on. You don't talk to people. We don't communicate. When you leave work, you go home or you go to hang with your homeboys at the bar. It's no communication. You don't go to the cookout. You don't go hang out. You don't go help your neighbor put his motor in anymore. You don't go paint the walls in someone else's house. You just don't. You don't share that same growth that people had back in the day when things mattered, when you knew what was going on in other people's households, when you actually cared about people. We don't care. And we continuously try to pretend as if we care. But the only thing we do is RIP, or it's always, well, I wouldn't have done that, or that was a dumb decision, or whatever. But you don't know what's going on with your neighbor. Our communication sucks. Our love for one another sucks. Our appreciation for one another sucks. And what we need to do is hold each other accountable. If you see me doing wrong, say, CP, you know what? That's not you. Don't do that. Or if I see you doing wrong, I need to say, Grant, dang, nah, bro, don't say that. You know, if I've had an issue, I've shared that issue with you. And, hey, we talk about it, and it's over and done with. You know what I mean? But we can get understanding. We can get respect for one another. But everyone, all the people that really don't understand what's going on, because once it comes to light, it's too late.
Clinton, here's where I've struggled, and no one should care about my struggle. There's way bigger stuff going on, but I'm trying to listen, and I feel like anything I say is inadequate. And how do I speak up but also listen at the same time?
Well, you speak up for what you believe in. You speak up when it's heartfelt. You know, it's a struggle or a toggle in between when it's not heartfelt. You're just trying to come up with the message because that's the right thing to do. Speak up when it's on your heart. If you're in the middle of a conversation about something and this hits me, then that's when you speak up. That's when you share it with the world. That's when you say,
hey, CP, real quick, I got to tell you, we can't say yes on the radio, so we got to hit a dump button when you say it. So it takes away a handful of seconds. And what you're saying, I think, is profound and important. So
agreed.
Just give me a crap, and then we can get all – people aren't going to be able to hear it because it's got to get dumped from the FCC. So just an FYI.
Well,
but keep going. Sorry.
That's not doing crap. So you put it in when it's heartfelt, when it's on your heart and it's right and that's your truth, then that's when you share it. You don't have to come up with a statement just because all of this is going on and, hey, Danny, I want to get something in. I want to say something to make my friends feel good. No, that's not what you said, because your friends are going to look at you like, what is he talking about? Like, that's not Danny. That's not the person I know. That's not Grant. That's not the person I know. Say it when it's heartfelt. Say it when it's true. Say it when it's something you stand by. Say it when it's something that you believe in. Say it when it's something that you're ready to take action for.
And we got a couple of minutes left. I want to get to this because we've got a couple tweets on this, and I want to give you an opportunity to answer to this. So Drew Brees, obviously, as I've said all day, this is a human being who has lived his life like I think we want our kids to live our lives largely, you know, as a good man who believes in the golden rule. His opinion is one right now that does not mesh with what we're trying to do as a country, obviously. But a lot of people are saying Drew Brees is not against maybe the Black Lives Matter movement, or Drew Brees is not against, you know, racial equality. He just happens to have an opinion on during the anthem, the flag, then other people. I'm not endorsing it. I'm asking you, though, your thoughts on if someone says Drew Brees has done a lot for inner city New Orleans, as you pointed out, he probably would love to get involved and march arm in arm with his teammates down the street. He just thinks that the national anthem is more about the flag, it sounds like. What do you say to that?
Well, I say that's ignorance, because you've been in the locker room for 4 years. You've seen Cap get blackballed. You've heard other teammates. You've heard the conversation within the locker room of why this was actually going on. It was never about the flag. The flag was a deterrent to what was really going on. It was about the injustice in the community, and that's where we still are. It was never about the flag. It was never about the military. It was never about the people who fought for this country that gave us our freedom to go on and move about our lives in the daily manner that we do. It's always been about the injustice in Black communities. And now all of a sudden, this injustice is coming to light. It's been happening since Rodney King got his butt kicked. It was happening before then. Martin Luther King marched peacefully and ended up with a bullet in his head. Malcolm X, hey, he was peaceful, ended up with a bullet in it. So you're talking about being peaceful, and you have some, which we've all seen, that the looters and the rioters and some of these people that's been put in place, you haven't seen any Black people pull up in a truck with bricks. You haven't seen any African Americans go and rob a jewelry store. Come on, man. These $3-4 million heists and people getting away scot-clean. Do you really think that's the Black African American community that's doing that? Are you kidding me? We've seen people spray paint their own business. Police in here telling them, hey, put George Floyd's name up there as well. Some people are taking advantage of this situation. Now, hey, is this some bad apples? Yes. Is it some bad apples in the police station? Yes. Everyone is not the same. But when you go to a traffic stop, if I run a stop sign, why are you pulling your gun on me? I just ran a stop sign. If I'm arguing in Waffle House, why are you tasing me? If I'm out past curfew, why are you busting my window? This is the understanding that we're trying to get to, because the crime wasn't that serious for us to even be in this situation. You've already made this situation bigger than it should have been by the way you approached me. You running side by side because I ran the red light? Give me a ticket and send me about my day. Don't put no gun in my face. If I ran the red light, obviously I'm in a rush to get home or get somewhere because someone is depending or counting on me. So what you sticking a gun in my face for?
We got to leave it there, buddy. We're up against it, man. Really appreciate you sticking with us and all the insight. Powerful stuff. Really appreciate it, Clinton. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care.
Thanks for your perspective. There's Clinton Portis on Grant and Danny. Look, the locker room in New Orleans right now, they're trying to sort this out. They're having a team meeting, I'm guessing, virtually today to try to get on the same page. And CP's been in the locker room, and he knows what it's going to be like now trying to get all those players to march to one beat. Appreciate him hopping on. If you want to react to anything he said, you can at 800-636-1067 right here on The Fan. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks so much for making the show part of your day. The phones are open for you at 800-636-1067. Our double play is coming up in just a bit at 11:45, and our Beltway Blitz is at noon. Clinton Portis was just on the show, and we were talking to him about how the Saints are going to get on the same page. I'd be curious to get people's thoughts on that. You know, his teammates were not happy with him yesterday, and I don't know that that's going to change today. Danny, what if they had a game today? What if they played at 1 o'clock? I know that's a wacky hypothetical in June.
Yeah, but my point is, the key element here is the time is on their side. Yeah,
he could have been interviewed, though. This could have been the day before a game, and he said this on ESPN, and then what? I mean, so He goes out of the tunnel, and do they all make a statement where a lot of his teammates stand in the tunnel and don't want to come out with him or something? I mean, it is – they got to fix this in New Orleans as a team that a lot of people think is one of the best in football. And these are his buddies. I mean, these are guys who know what kind of man he is, and this is how they feel. Imagine, you know, people around the country that don't know anything about Drew Brees. Andre's in Manassas. Dre wants to hop in. What's up, dude? How are you?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. You know, I know the Paulsons and the Rowers didn't raise no fools. You guys are good men. Grant, I've heard you use the word opinion a couple of times. You know, what's more dangerous, a snake or a shark? That's an opinion, I think. In this particular situation, I think it's more than an opinion. True story. One day, my family and I, we were driving into Virginia. I think we were going all the way. I mean, we're going deep into Virginia. And guys, I'm not going to lie. You know, I'm 43 years old. The bigger the flag and the bigger the cross got, the more scared I got. I kid you not. So for Drew Brees, and I think for if there's ever an individual who I would think would understand this would be an NFL quarterback because of, you know, your time you played in high school and in college and obviously in the pros, you've had the opportunity to sit back, to talk, to be a leader. You would think of any position in the world would have a better understanding would be NFL quarterback. And when someone such as Drew Brees, you realize he doesn't still get it. Then you have to wonder about other people. And if Drew Brees can't get it, how would I expect, you know, someone who in his pickup truck with the rebel flag in one hand and his girl wearing the American flag as a bikini going up the crack of her butt to understand what we're trying to say here as a race of people. It's
so,
not
Dre,
about
let me
the
ask
flag.
You a question. Let me ask you a question, okay? And just back and forth, the quick conversation, I guess I would say. Is it possible that for him, he can be 100% in lockstep with what you're saying and what most of us in this country, and including, I believe, Drew Brees, are advocating for, which is that they would like everyone to be treated the same. He spent his entire life treating people with decency no matter what they looked like. And when he looks at the flag, what he thinks is or when he hears the anthem, for him, this means something different than to someone else. Is that possible at all? Because I'm saying it's his opinion. We are now in a society where, like, it almost doesn't matter. Like, you could have a religious belief, and that's unacceptable, right or wrong now as well. He gave an opinion answering a question about his personal belief on what the anthem means. Is he not supposed to do that anymore? I guess that's my question. Or is the point that he can do that, but he's ignorant because he's wrong? I guess that's what I'm asking, Dre.
I think he's naive. I mean, again, the flag, obviously, it's our country, but to not understand that, you know, he mentioned his grandfather's fighting in World War II. A lot of black guys fought in World War II, but when they came back, they couldn't get a GI Bill to advance their family, advance their education to advance their family. They couldn't get loans to the bank. So, yes, I know the flag means a lot to him, and I respect that. But he also needs to understand, respect the flag, that for some folks, you know, the flag doesn't, it's our country and we love our country, but it carries a lot of pain. And I think ultimately, you know, when you look back at the Boston Tea Party, this country was founded on protesting. And so when folks protest and you know, yeah, you may not like the looting. Yeah, I get that. But this country was founded on a protest. This country was founded on the Boston Tea Party. You know, millions of dollars of things were poof, gone, damaged. And we have to respect and understand our history. And see how that history sometimes, you know, it only cuts one way, but you got to look at it from both sides of the angle.
I think he'd be universally condemned if he came out against the protests. I mean, I don't know that many people that are anti-protest. Now, looting, rioting, you hear a lot of people angry about that. But as you said, protesting is in our DNA back to day one. I mean, we're not here without protests.
It's intrinsic to the Constitution as well. I mean, that was the first thing they wrote down was, you got the right to do that, by the way.
Right.
You can get together and disagree if you feel compelled to.
To my knowledge, he didn't comment on yesterday.
No, I know he didn't do that. But I think, you know, like Clinton Portis said, you know, for decades, you know, folks have tried to protest calmly. But, you know, this country, I think somebody told me this interesting stat. You know, we've been a country for over like 240 years. And over that, only 22, 25 years have we not had violence, have we not been at war. For some reason, with this country, you know, protesting, you know, something speaks to this country, you know, in terms of, you know, if you want to get the attention of this country, it's unfortunate, you think, but, you know, we've tried to, a lot of folks have tried it peacefully, and we're still where we are today. I'm not saying I condone the looting, obviously, that is a bad look.
But
again, when you look
point.
Back at the founding fathers.
I understand your point. I mean, Colin Kaepernick silently took a knee, and that was unacceptable. I get what you're saying wholeheartedly. Look, I guess here's my point. Here's what I'm uncomfortable with a little bit is he makes this comment, and he is now enemy of the state number one, and fans are vowing that they'll never support him again, and people are burning his jersey. Za'Darius Smith of the Packers posted a picture yesterday of the Week 3 matchup between Green Bay and New Orleans, Week 3, 9/27. Like, he has become the face now, I feel like, of like hatred, and that's just not the life he's lived his entire life. That's
but
not
that only goes to show you. That only goes to show how much they folks loved Drew Brees. I think you only have this much vitriol for somebody, unless, of course, you love that person. And he has to understand what he said hurt, really hurt people. I'm not saying he's unable to ever get back where he did, but or where he was, but he hurt a lot of people. He hurt me. I'm not even necessarily a big, you know, Drew Brees fan, but he seems like a good guy. But what he said really hurt me in terms of just his plain naivete about the entire situation. I mean, it really hurt. Like, I tell you right now, I drove down to Southern Virginia. The bigger the flag got, the bigger the cross got in terms of symbolism of, you know, Jesus Christ, love, freedom, I got scared.
Andre, thank
That's
you for
my
your
reality.
Call, buddy. No,
Andre, thank you, pal.
And we appreciate that perspective. And it's one that it's good. It's good to hear your opinion because it's not something that I can speak to, nor should I try to. I mean, that's a reality that you live in that, you know, I've been blessed. That isn't something that I've ever had to think about as I'm driving down the street. But I appreciate the phone call. I know Danny does, and thank you for making it. 800-636-1067 is the number. The double play will feel more trivial than ever when we do it next. And the Beltway Blitz at noon on Grant and Danny. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks for listening to the show. Hanging out with you until 2, Chad Dukes versus the world at that time. Coming up next hour, among other things, we'll discuss the return to hoops. 22 teams, the Wizards, will be involved in our 1 o'clock hour today. We'll break down who has a chance to, they can't cut down the nets in the NBA, but I guess hoist a trophy at the end of the year. Although it's a tournament, so should we get on ladders and cut down the nets when it's all said and done, Danny?
Yes. I think that'd be cool. The one time we did it. Make it history. Cut them down. I love that stuff. Because it's on the road. It's not in your home court. You're not going to cut down the nets at the Verizon Center or whatever it's called now. Right? Cut them down.
I think they should do everything tournament style.
Yes.
I
just
really
embrace
do.
It. Seriously. Like, one shining moment, piece of string on your hat. Do it.
Right. Yes. Please do one shining moment at the end
the ball
of the
is
NBA.
Tipped.
Postseason.
We had a tourney in Orlando and give me some highlights of fadeaway jumpers and James Harden drawing fouls. Cut the nets down.
Our guy Chris Miles of NBA TV will be with us at 1 to talk about that. Before we get to our double play, though, the World Series Rewind is presented by Waldorf Honda. And what do you know? It's either Juan Soto or Anthony Rendon, it feels like, in these
Stunner.
World Series games. Every time we throw to a highlight, Tony Rendon step into the spotlight.
Harris is 1-0. Swinging a high fly ball left field, sending Brantley back onto the warning track, at the wall, looking up, and it is gone! Anthony Rendon puts it into the Crawford boxes, and the Nationals lead the ballgame 5-2 here in the seventh inning. It's Anthony Rendon's first World Series home run and his second long ball of the postseason. And the Nationals get to Harris here in the top of the seventh. The Nationals 5, the Astros 2.
Will Harris did not have a good World Series. He's now a National, and he might be maybe my favorite National ever because
he's terrific.
He was one of the best relievers in baseball over the last few years, and then he gave up the home run to Rendon in Game 6 and the home run to Kendrick in Game 7. But that was right after Davey Martinez got ejected, the controversial play at first base. It looked like the Nats were going to get screwed. They were going to be in a little bit of trouble, Danny. Maybe it wasn't going to go their way, and it seemed like the walls were caving in, even though they had a lead, and then Rendon – calming everybody down. It's going to be okay. Hits that bomb in the seventh inning to pull away from the Astros.
Hard to overstate how important that was, because you touched on it. The nonsense application of the ruling on Trey Turner. And I'll go to my grave thinking that was the wrong thing. There were way more egregious examples of guys running out routine ground balls to shortstop where they were 5 feet in play before bowing back out. Ridiculous that that would be applied right there, and Davey Martinez was right to lose his mind about that, but it ended up not hurting him. If that's the thing that changes the series, right, think Jeffrey Mayer catching a fly out to right field, that changes the series, that's forever the footnote. We'd still be talking about that today, how the cheating Astros won, and it was in the Trey Turner game. It's now a footnote. Thank goodness for Anthony Rendon.
Now you could say that almost every game he played in last season. Really, I mean, you listen back to some of these clips, it's incredible he didn't get more run as an MVP candidate. That was your World Series Rewind presented by Waldorf Honda. We got 0%, we got zero down, we got zero payments for 90 days. Waldorf Honda has got it going on at waldorfhonda.com. It is time for our double play.
Jeeps, I have been desperate to talk about this, and I've gotten the sense, getting to know my partner here over the years, that you have no interest in it. So I think that's what the double play is all about, right? Is bringing your thing to the table. I want to talk about the Snyder Cut. I think this is a monumental moment in entertainment. Is it trivial compared to the rest of the world? Of course it is. But that's kind of what the double play is all about. Here's what happened. Zack Snyder directs Justice League. He gets, I don't have a percentage, but call it 65-70% of the way through the project, experiences a family tragedy, has to step back and step away from the film. Joss Whedon comes on. He's the guy that directed a bunch of Avengers stuff. He kind of changes everything, has all these parameters that Warner Brothers made him do, fit the movie into 2 hours, and it was a critical disappointment. It just wasn't very good. It reduced Cyborg to bupkis. It made Flash just kind of this comic relief guy. Whoopsie daisy, I'm clumsy. He's super fast. We knew nothing about Aquaman, and they just kind of go against this unremarkable enemy. People have demanded and been desperate to see the Snyder Cut for years. It's a hashtag. It's a movement. It's people clamoring online. It's everybody begging Warner Brothers, begging the studio, begging Zack Snyder. Well, all of a sudden, enough people have done it for enough times, it's now happening. And fans are rejoicing. And I'm rejoicing, too, because I want to see it. I want to see what it's all about. It has Darkseid, who is one of the master villains in the DC Universe, and Steppenwolf, the character that was the bad guy in this movie, who was unremarkable and unclear. It becomes much more clear why he's doing what he's doing. And I don't want to say empathy, but you understand, instead of just, I want power and power is important to me. And then it just sort of, is this constant menace. And the potential for it is great. And it's going to be released on HBO Max, and there's a bunch of money tied into it and everything else. Here's what's amazing, though. The Mob won. Did a Pandora's box open? Is this the new normal where you start to clamor for edits and things? And are we letting the mob influence? Or are we letting artists create? I'm happy about this, but at the same time, I think it's a fascinating case study in the way the world works now.
I do, too. And I don't know how to feel about it, honestly, because when people are correct in getting a change by way of a means that you don't like, how do you act? In other words, I don't want every time that enough people get together on social media and scream about wanting something done in a movie or a TV show or something, that just happens. But in this case, if it's a good thing, then you can appreciate that and still maybe not like the means of how we got here. I mean, as you said, I don't care necessarily either way. I will say I like Zack Snyder. I loved 300. I think he's got a cool style. In general, though, Marvel is kind of my wheelhouse, and everything done on the opposite side of the aisle that isn't Batman, I think, has stunk. I mean, I almost like nothing that they have done. It's all dark and shot weird, and there's these really crazy, vivid colors. I don't understand what they're trying to do or what they're trying to accomplish. I love Marvel. I'm the same guy that loves all those things. I like The Dark Knight, all three of those series. Christopher Nolan, that trilogy, is some of my favorite movies, even non-comic book movies ever. Almost everything else universally, I think, has stunk.
I don't hate that. I don't hate that take. I like Man of Steel, but I'm a little bit of a hipster. Just because I want to see Superman.
It was fine. I didn't
Superman stuff. But, yeah, I think it's a big deal.
It is. It's pretty groundbreaking in terms of actually enacting that change in entertainment. G&D on the Fan Blitz is next. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.